Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
In like manner also, let the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or pearls or gold or costly clothing, but with that which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. We live in a world that is filled with immodesty, immodest hearts, and naturally immodest dress. From everywhere to the worship setting, all the way down to Walmart or wherever you may be, there is a problem with immodesty. Today we want to look at God's standard for modest dress and what that means and what that applies to the child of God. Is it okay for me to wear just whatever I want to wear? Or does God have a standard for dress? Well, it's evident from the Scriptures that God does expect us to dress modestly and appropriately, but how would we define immodest dress? We define it by looking at what modesty is. It must be the opposite of that. For example, we're going to look at it in a moment. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sewed for themselves fig leaves. They realized they were still naked. God confirmed they were still naked. And God reclothed them properly. They were dressed modestly. A modesty, therefore, is having the right amount of clothing on. Modesty would be having appropriate clothing on, not putting show on yourself, like in 1 Timothy chapter 2. The women in that day were seeing if they could evidently outdo one another. They weren't dressing in propriety and moderation. And the braiding is not a French braid in the hair necessarily. It's not that you can't wear earrings or a necklace or pearls. They were seeing who could go the biggest, who could do it the most, whose braid could go the highest, who could wear the most gold, who could put on the most clothing, costly clothing of pearls, so that the emphasis would be upon them. And so modest apparel then is not putting attention on oneself by the type of clothing you wear, too much, too costly, things of that nature. And so what then is immodesty? It's simply clothing, whether too much or too little, that takes attention off of God and puts it on yourself, that causes others to be drawn to you, maybe as a sex symbol or maybe simply in worship where people were looking at others instead of letting their focus be on God. Now, we've stated that God does have a standard, but I want you to think about this. If I want to learn about marriage, I want to learn about God's original pattern, I want to learn God's original ideal for marriage, where would I go? Well, I'd go all the way back to the origin of marriage, wouldn't I? Genesis chapter 2, God said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." There's God's original pattern. One man, one woman for life, period. That's the way God originally wanted. Now, do you know that in the origin of man, there is the origin for modern dress? Look in Genesis chapter 3. Just like you have the plan for marriage, God's original idea and pattern, so when it comes to modest dress, God has an original pattern that He gave to Adam and Eve. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, and let's look at that pattern this morning. Genesis chapter 3, and I want us to see what God's original pattern, His original standard for modest dress is. Now, you'll notice in Genesis chapter 2, before they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says in Genesis 2:25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And so before sin came into the world, before they had knowledge of right and wrong, nakedness was not an issue. Now, here's a lesson you learn from that. When they received that knowledge of good and evil, nakedness, immodesty became a matter of right and wrong. We're not talking about opinion. We're not talking about personal idea here. Modesty and immodesty is a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of sin or righteousness. It's a matter of heaven or hell. Am I going to choose to obey God or am I not going to choose to obey God? Well, what's God's standard? Look at Adam and Eve's attempt to dress themselves. Look in Genesis chapter 3. And you remember they eat of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, the tree God tells them not to. Notice Genesis 3 verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of her fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now watch what happens. Genesis 3 verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves for themselves and made themselves covering. And so here they have that knowledge, that immediacy of the knowledge of good and evil, and they realize we're naked. We've got to clothe ourselves. This isn't how it ought to be. And so what do? They get fig leaves, and they sew those together. And interestingly enough, the Bible says they make coverings for themselves. Now, you can imagine a fig leaf covering wouldn't cover too much. In fact, the word covering in the Hebrew literally means something that would cover the waist and tie in the back. A loincloth, it's used for a belt or a girdle in other places. And so they were scantily dressed. They didn't have very much clothing on, but they did realize, we're not right, we've got to do something to cover ourselves. Now, continue reading in Genesis chapter 3, and let's see if that scantily clad clothing they made was approved by God. Genesis 3, look in verse 7 again. The eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you you are naked?" Now, here's some principles from this. Number one, they realized when they clothed themselves in those fig leaves, they were still naked. "We hid," God said. "Why'd you hide?" "We were still naked. You had clothes on, didn't you?" Well, we made fig leaves. They made something that would go around the waist. But they knew they were still naked. And look in verse 11. God said, "Who told you you were naked?" Number one, they knew they were naked. Secondly, God confirmed they were still naked. Friend, nakedness is not just the absence of all clothing. When they covered themselves in something like a loincloth, something like a girdle or a belt, and that's all they had on, they knew they were still naked, and God knew they were still naked. And so some clothing doesn't make you modest. God has a standard. Well, what is that standard? Let's keep looking at Genesis chapter 3. Look with me in Genesis chapter 3, and here's where God properly clothes them and sets a standard. Genesis 3:21. The Bible says, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." Now, the interesting idea here is that the Hebrew word for tunic is a word that describes a garment that reaches from the shoulder to the knees. When God clothed them properly, it wasn't the loincloth that would work. It wasn't their scantily clad clothing. God dressed them in such a way that they were covered so that others wouldn't be tempted to lust and so that they could give the right impression from that. And so when we think about this idea, it's very powerful to know that the only scripture that mentions God clothing mankind mentions that He did it in such a way that it was from at least the shoulder down to the knee. Now, just like God's original pattern for marriage, God created marriage, God set forth the standard, and we believe and we understand that's the way it ought to be today. Friend, just like that, in Genesis chapter 3, God set a universal standard of dress from creation. God didn't accept their dress. My ways and your ways may not be right. Isaiah chapter 55, God says, my ways, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. My thinking and your thinking, my dress and your dress, without God's input, may not be right. But here's what we can know. When God clothed them, God clothed them modestly. And God did it from the shoulder down to the knee. That's God's standard for dress. Now, what about on occasions where others might be tempted to lust and things of that nature? How should I dress? Does the Bible say anything about that? Sure it does. Open your Bible with me to Exodus chapter 20. Not only must, when I dress, not only must I consider God's standard in Genesis chapter 3, but I've got to think about others also, and we see that from the Old Testament and the New. Look in Exodus chapter 20. I want you to notice what God says to the priest. God gave them special dress in Exodus chapter 28. And as they walked up the altar, notice what God said in verse 26. Exodus chapter 20. God said, nor to the priest, nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. Now remember that God set a standard dress from the shoulder to the knee, and then He said, I don't want you going up the steps in front of the people. Why? Your nakedness might be exposed before them. What do we learn from passages like these? Friend, it's not only when I stand up that I've got to consider my dress, but what about when you sit down? What about when you bend over? What about when you reach down to get something? What about when you move in a certain way? How much nakedness are you showing at those points? God didn't want the priest to do it. And friends, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. And so I've got to think not just when I stand up, but what about in other areas? What about in other situations? Do I need to consider my dress then? Absolutely I do. I've got to make sure that I dress in such a way that it does not cause others to lust and sets God's standard for that. Now, turn to the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to look in your Bible with me in verses 9 following. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to look beginning in verse 9. The opening passage that we began with expresses that God still has a standard, and He wants people to dress modestly today. The Scripture says in 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves, listen, in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation. That is, what's appropriate, what's given in moderation, not over the top. Then He says in that same text, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. Remember, they're living in a time when they're trying to outdo each other. But one up, you might say, on the other. I've got more braids in my hair than you today. I've got more gold on than you do. I'm wearing more pearls. My clothing costs more than you. They're trying to show out, we might say. And so Paul says, you need to dress modestly. And here's the standard. Look in verse 10. That which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Now, friends, God's standard of modesty applies to men and women both. But in this context, He's dealing evidently with a certain issue, and He says, you need to dress modestly. You need to, here's the standard. Dress in such a way that you profess godliness. That which is proper for women professing godliness. Women and men. If I profess, that is, if I claim to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, an example to the world, then what should my dress show? That I'm dressing in such a way that I really believe that. That I want to follow God, that I want to do His teaching, and that I want to set an example to the world. And so we still must follow God's standard that He set. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3, and there's another principle set here, and it's this. As a child of God, as a man and woman, child of God, Christian man, Christian woman, my emphasis needs to be on what's in here, not out here. Our emphasis is not upon the sex appeal, the outward body. I'm not saying look disheveled and things of that nature. I believe you ought to take care of yourself. But the emphasis doesn't need to be out here. The emphasis needs to be in here. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to look in verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel." But here's where it ought to be. "Also, or rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Don't let it be just out here. Nothing wrong with taking care of yourself, but the emphasis ought not to be here. It's what's inside us. With the way God wants us to. Gentle, quiet spirit, one who dresses in a modest way, that's the way God wants us to dress. Now, applications from that. Here's what we learn. I need to dress in such a way that at all times, when I'm around others, that I don't cause them to stumble or to sin. I need to dress in such a way that I keep God's standard of modesty. Not the way that Adam and Eve dressed themselves in Genesis 3, but rather the way God set forth as a standard. Young men, young women, you need to dress in such a way that you don't bring that attraction to yourself, that you're not looking at what can people look at me and see, but rather you're trying to be an example to the world. Young men especially, and this is something that bothers me, pull your pants up. It's just not modest to walk around with your pants halfway down. Friend, that's just not modest. God's standard is from the shoulder to the knee, and if your breeches are down around your knee, that don't meet the standard. You look at somebody like that and you think, that's not modest. I can see their underwear. We all realize that. Pull your pants up. Every time I see one of them, I want to hike his pants up about as high as I can. It's just not right. Now, think about this. If we realize that's not wrong, that's not right, then all of us ought to consider how we dress. Are my clothes too tight? Do they reveal more than they ought to? Are my clothes too short? Is the skirt that I'm wearing too short? Is the blouse that I'm wearing, is it too revealing? If so, then maybe I ought to change the way I dress. Maybe I ought to rethink some of my clothing to God's standard. Now, let's think then about a second aspect. Our worship, our dress as it relates to worship. I want you to open your Bible with me to Exodus chapter 3. Turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 3. God does want us to dress in such a way that what we bring before Him gives Him honor. Look in Exodus chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock back to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." Well, like me and you, he was curious. He wanted to see this great wonder. Verse 3, "Then Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight." I'm going to go see what this is. Why does the bush not burn? Verse 4, "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And so he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." When God told Moses to take his sandals off, God did so because those sandals represented an idea, a principle, a way of dress that wasn't appropriate and respectful in the presence of God. His sandals were dirty. They were his formal wear. They are that which he'd been out in the field with. They are that which he had worked with, we say. They represent a relaxed and laid-back mindset. And God said, "You're not going to approach me wearing that. Take them off." Now, what do I learn from Exodus chapter 3 about dress and worship? There are certain types of dress, and no doubt you need to dress modestly in worship. Shame on us if we can't even dress modestly in worship. But our worship and our clothing go hand in hand. Some people say, "My clothing's got nothing to do with it." That's not true. God said, "Don't bring those sandals on this holy ground," because they represented an idea God did not want. And so I learned that there are certain types of clothing, certain types of dress, that in the presence of God would be disrespectful to Him. And that would be clothing that we might wear that would be dirty if we didn't have anything else. I'm not talking about someone who that's all they got. James 2 teaches, if that's all you got, that's it. You've got to wear that. But clothing that we might work in that's dirty, type of shoes or boots that would go with that, and no doubt attire or clothing that's very informal, very laid back. Friend, this would be the reason. Listen carefully. This would be the reason shorts are not appropriate to worship God in. Why? Because they represent that laid back mindset, that sandal attitude that God was not pleased with. God said, don't come in here with that. That's not appropriate. That's not respectful. You might go out and work in the yard in that. You might go to the lake in that. You might go elsewhere, but work in the garden in your shorts. But those shorts don't respect God the way that He wants to be respected. Tank tops, other clothing, dirty clothes, grimy clothes, don't bring that to God. Give God your best. And so there is a direct correlation with the type of clothing I wear and either it respecting God or disrespecting Him. Now, from that, I want to also give some motivation as to why we ought to dress our best when we worship God. Number one, simply because God says so. God said to Moses, don't bring that here. God says to me and you, dress modestly. And so as we think about modest dress, both outside the worship and the assembly, friend, it's just simply because this. God said so, and I need to obey Him. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, it's not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, that's going to heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you really love God? That's what it comes down to in modest dress. It's obedience to God and respect for Him and His laws or disobedience. Secondly, and especially as it relates to worshiping God, I don't want to rob God. I want to give God my best. In the Old Testament, God required the first fruits. You know, when you plant a garden, what comes off the vine first? Number one, it tastes best because it's the first and you've been looking for it. But it's the first. It's got a lot of the nutrients. It's got a lot of more taste than some at the latter time of the year. God wanted the first fruits, and He requires that of us. Open your Bible with me to the book of Malachi, and let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Malachi chapter 1, and then we'll look in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 1. Look at what Malachi, or God, says. Here's the problem, what they were doing. God says in Malachi 1 verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you, priests, who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Here's what they were doing. You offered defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? When you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord? Now turn over to Malachi chapter 3 and look at God's question here. Malachi 3 verse 8. God says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. They were holding back. They weren't giving God the best. You got a sick animal, you got a sick goat, sick lamb, you've got something that you don't want, give it to God. He'll take it. God doesn't want the leftovers. God doesn't want my grimy clothes. God doesn't want the worst. God deserves. Listen carefully. God deserves your best, the best of my energy, the best of my time, the best of my heart. He deserves first place in my life, and surely God deserves the best of my dress. Friend, why should we be motivated to dress appropriately? I'm in the presence of God. Do we realize this morning, as we gather to worship, we're worshiping God. We are the participants. God is the audience. And God sees my heart, God sees your heart, and this morning, God sees how you dress. And friend, if I'm not dressed in such a way that glorifies God, am I any different than Moses when he was about to approach God with his sandals? I need to really think about, this is God we're talking about. This is not a beach party. This is not other ideas. This is the very presence of Almighty God. And friend, I want to come before God and I want to give Him my best. I want to show that which gives honor and respect to God. But then there's another reason. I want to be motivated to dress in such a way that it honors God, because this is only an expression of what's in here. Open your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. What I wear, what I say, and that which is seen on the outside is an expression of what's on the inside. Look in Matthew chapter 12. Look at what Jesus says in verse 33 following. No doubt Jesus is talking about language, an external indicator of one's heart, but anything external would indicate the type of heart that I have. Matthew 12, verse 33. Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Now, He's not talking about trees, horticulture. Jesus is talking about people. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Now, y'all mark this in your Bible. The Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of my mouth tells what I am on the inside. And friend, the way I dress and the way I act and the things I do, that tells about my heart. That's an expression of who I am. But then I want you to think about this also, and especially as it relates to modest dress. How do you want others to see you? Do you want others to look at you as a sex symbol? Do you want others to look at you and think thoughts that maybe aren't right? I know. I can't control everything everybody thinks. And if I dress modestly and someone does that, that's their problem. But if you're dressed in such a way that it lends people to think like that, clothing that's revealing, clothing that doesn't set God's standard, friend, do you really want to be seen that way? Is that really the way a Christian ought to dress? And so this morning, I hope you'll think about God's standard for modest dress. God still expects His people to dress modestly and appropriately. We ought to dress in such a way that it professes godliness. Does your dress say, I'm trying to be a faithful Christian, or does it say, the world's got me right in its grip? We need to really, really think about how we dress as we think about living the Christian life each and every day. Friend, the greatest way you could dress is found in Galatians 3, verse 27. As many of us as were baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. Have you been clothed with Christ today?